ask questions, and selected questions will be asked during the lesson.
This is a short article concerning truth and faith, Shamari 43. However, it's not simple. We stumble across it on every step along the way. On the one hand, we understand that there has to be labor, and then according to our labor, our effort, we will get a reward. On the other hand, we hear and we think that if the Creator is good, who does good, and is almighty, and he doesn't need any effort from us, because this is how he created us, so then why do we have to labor and do anything? And also, in our world, we see the same contradiction. There are people who are born in a poor family, and they're not able to provide the child with anything special. And so it may be that because of this he will suffer his whole life. He won't get a good education, he won't acquire knowledge, and so on. And there are people who are born in a family where there is everything, both the education and the knowledge and everything he gets from the family, and even more, they give him everything, they buy everything for him, and then he goes out to life, and he doesn't really need to labor so much in order to achieve whatever he wants, compared to the person who was born in a poor family. Or even more than that, even internally, we have wise, we have fool, with all kinds of qualities that already exist from birth. There are those who are not so successful, not in their intellect, not in their emotions, etc. That is, we all see that here the beginning is not equal for everyone. Not in the intellect, not in the emotion, not in the qualities or the corporeal means. So how does it happen, at least in spirituality? Maybe in spirituality there are more just conditions, more equal, because spirituality comes from above. The Creator arranges everything. So in this world, well, maybe we can understand that this is how we are arranged. But in the spiritual world, and therefore with respect to spirituality, we also have complaints. How come I'm not getting what I deserve? Like a child who demands everything from the parents. And and whether they give him or they don't give him whatever they can, they're able to give him or not. However, it seems that to the child that he can demand everything, and we are the same. That we can demand, or maybe we don't demand it, however we do think that we deserve it. And therefore we sit and wait and expect that we will get something, that it will come from the Creator himself another day and another day, but at some point it will come. As it says, he will not fight forever, will not quarrel forever, and eventually I will get what I deserve. And I cannot pressure myself for whatever reason, but only above reason. Sorry. Above reason, if I will pressure myself, if through the friends somehow In short, whichever way you look at it, there are many contradictions here in the perception of reality, even in the corporeal one, all the more so in the spiritual one. If we could see these things in their true, correct form, maybe we wouldn't have so many complaints against each other and against the Creator. However, we see that in corporeality and also in spirituality, these things are not organized the way it should be. And here there is a question. What kind of completion, complementation can we do so that the world will appear as though it was created not equally, however, justly, so that in the attainment of the final goal, we reach a state where each one completes himself through the others, and each one completes the others by himself, and only in such a way specifically can we attain the correct state. So that the fact that we were born not equal, and one exerts more and the other less, that no one will have any complaint to the Creator for the fact that He made it so. How come? Where here do we reach such a complementation, and why did the Creator do it so, make the world in such a way to begin with, such that each one is in a state where it seems to him that maybe the others have it good, and therefore we have a very hard time exerting, because according to our mind, of course, we would have built the world in a different way. And why is it that as we advance, we agree with the Creator more and more, and we see how everything was done with an upper mind, an upper justice, and this is how we advance. So that all people who are not equal in corporeality and also in spirituality, however, eventually when they finally maybe connect in a single vessel, this is how we seemingly want to explain this to ourselves, then they complete each other and we reach a state where we are all as one. Well, we're going to see this. Let's start to read the article. There are many deep things here, even though it is short, but well, let's see, please.
Shamati Mem Gimel, Inyan Emet Ve'emuna.
Shamati 43, concerning truth and faith. Truth is what one feels and sees in his eyes. This discernment is called reward and punishment, meaning that nothing can be gained without labor. It is like a person who sits in his home and does not want to do anything to provide for his sustenance. He says that since the Creator is good and does good and provides for all, He will certainly send him his needs, while he himself does not need to do anything. Of course, if this person behaves in this manner, he will certainly starve to death. Reason too asserts it. So it appears to the eyes, and this is indeed the truth, that he will die of starvation. But at the same time, one must believe above reason that he could obtain all his needs without any exertion and trouble because of private providence. In other words, the Creator does and will do every deed, and one does not need help to help, and one does not need to help him in anything. Rather, the Creator does everything, and one cannot add or take away. Yet, how can these two things go hand in hand, since one contradicts the other? One discernment is called what one's mind attains, meaning that without man's help, meaning that without preceding labor and exertion, nothing will be attained. This is called truth, since the Creator wanted man to feel that way. This is why this path is called the path of truth. Let it not perplex you that if these two ways are in contradiction, how is it possible that this state will be true? The answer is that truth does not refer to the way or to the state. Rather, truth refers to the sensation that the Creator wanted him to feel like that way. This is truth. It follows that the matter of truth can be said precisely about the Creator, meaning about His will, that He wants man to feel and see this way. Yet, at the same time, one must believe that even though he does not feel and does not see with his mind's eye, that the Creator can help him obtain all the profits that he can be gained, that can be gained without any exertion. It is only with respect to private providence. The reason that one cannot attain the matter of private providence before one attains the matter of reward and punishment is that private providence is an eternal thing, and man's mind is not eternal. Hence, something eternal cannot clothe in something not eternal. Thus, once he has been awarded the reward and punishment, the reward and punishment become a kli, a vessel, where private providence can clothe. Now we can understand the verse, O Lord, do save, O Lord, do succeed. Do save refers to reward and punishment. One must pray that the Creator will provide him with labor and exertion by which he will have reward. At the same time, he should pray for success, which is private providence, meaning that he will be rewarded with all the profits in the world without any labor or exertion. We also see this in corporeal possessions, discerned by their separation in places, meaning in two bodies, whereas in spiritual matters, everything is examined on a single body, but in two times. There are people who obtain their possessions specifically through great exertion, energy, and great wit. And at the same time, we see the opposite, that people who are not so witty, who do not have a lot of energy and do not make great efforts, succeed and become the greatest owners of property and possessions in the world. The answer is that these corporeal things extend from their upper roots, meaning from reward and punishment, and from private providence. The only difference is that in spirituality, it appears in one place, meaning in one carrier, but one by one, meaning in one person, but in two states. And in corporeality, it is in one time, but in two carriers, meaning at the same time, and in two different people. Thank you, Rav. Why shouldn't we just say that the Creator gives according to one's efforts? Why is there an addition of you will have everything anyway?
It's exactly in order for you to reveal the correct attitude to the reality in which you exist. This is why we're so confused. I'm even giving you an example from this world that we are all in different states, both internal in our intellect and in our emotion. Not everyone is Einstein, and not everyone is, I don't know, Shakespeare, and well, most people are simple, and even they are not equal with one another. Each one is different from the other to some extent, according to the character, the intellect, the emotion, according to the habits that they acquire from their home, their upbringing, according to internal qualities that we're not sufficiently aware of. Everyone is different. Why? Why are they different? It is in order for us, through our connection, to reach wholeness. So each one has something in him that does not exist in the other, and each one has to discover how much he needs the other. That we achieve wholeness specifically through connection and not by a person studying by himself and elevating himself. There is no such thing. What happened before the state that we discover, the shattering, and therefore the most correct operation from our state is connection, and there is nothing else, actually. Everything is taken care of, and we cure everything through the connection between us. And therefore, if we just shut our eyes and only take care of the connection, it will work out. However, that is not enough, because I also need, even to reach connection, I also need to take care of myself in order to understand the necessity for it, in order to develop the qualities that I have to begin with. And therefore, here there's the matter of inner work and external work. That is unrelated to the method of Kabbalah. In Kabbalah, we want the person to understand where he is and how come the Creator made him with such qualities and in such a state, and what is it that he has to do on his own? How to magnify these qualities, how to diminish those qualities, etc. He needs to work with himself. This is a matter of the mitzvot, the commandments, meaning that he takes care of his own emotions and intellect, his brain and his heart in such a way so as to adapt himself more to connection. And in the connection, he discovers the Creator, and he then enters adhesion with him. And this is why we don't need to limit ourselves. To the contrary, we need to let the person and to explain to the person everything we have, all the possibilities. And beyond that, the person himself then already takes all of the possessions, the assets within him, and he works with them.
Да, дорогой Рав, тут по тексту.
Yes, dear Rav. According to the text, it's not clear that in spirituality it's revealed in one carrier, one subject, or one place, and in spirituality in two places?
Well, that's the result of the breaking of the vessel. Spirituality means what we discover in a vessel that is about to be connected, to be established, that it exists in a certain connection between the parts, when it is considered that it is in one carrier, whereas in corporeality, we're still talking about the broken vessels, and therefore, this is how we discover it.
Why does he say that one has to pray for success? Why not settle for labor?
He explains this to us. O Lord, do save. O Lord, do succeed. This means that we ask the Creator to help us. And also, we ask of Him to succeed. But how do I ask of the Creator to succeed? Where here is my labor? If I work according to reward and punishment, what is called the truth, according to the line of truth, then as much as I do, this is what I deserve. But no, they say, this is a separate thing and there is something else. You also need to ask and pray and expect that you will get it even without your effort. And this is called success. Oh, do succeed, that we ask of Him that we will succeed. What does it mean that we will succeed? To succeed means, even if I'm doing things incorrectly or I'm not doing or whatever, I'm still asking to succeed. Like a child behaves towards the mother. He cries and he asks and he demands, etc., and she does it for him out of love. So this is how we should also ask.
But when we begin to work with there is anyone else besides Him, this truth kind of dissolves. So
of course it dissolves, because we get confused between walking on the path of whatever we feel and what we want to ascribe to spirituality, and the two of them contradict each other. Of course, yes. This is why I started to say before the article that there are people who, and it happens to each and every one to some extent, that just they sit and wait for something to happen. And they're right, because they deserve it because of eternal providence, because there is this attitude from the Creator to people in terms of what we call above reason, that eventually the Creator comes and He helps and He brings everyone to the end of correction and He connects everyone. Everything nevertheless is done by His hand. There is none else besides Him, and that is all well and fine. And you cannot say anything about this approach except for one thing, that it is an incomplete approach. And where here is our effort? Well, effort, labor is not required. You can say, if the Creator does everything and will do all the deeds, and there is none else besides Him, etc., etc., as much as I have such verses and quotes about it, then I can sit and wait and expect this to happen. So it's clear to us, if this is in the corporeal world, then this person will starve to death. He will die. And in the spiritual world, we don't feel the spiritual world, so it seems to us that there, everything can be done also just according to the eternal providence and not according to reward and punishment. And it's not going to happen, because there are two forms, and our problem is, and why is the wisdom of Kabbalah so difficult to except to understand? Why is it hidden? It's like we're trying to put a ball into a box, a square. And these are two different forms. So How is it possible to do that? It's a problem. It is a very big problem. That it doesn't work, doesn't go hand in hand. And therefore the perception of the spiritual world from the corporeal world is so complex, complicated, misunderstood. And only through the influence of the upper light that belongs to the upper world and also to the lower world, when we rise to that light, then we can start to feel reality, both the corporeal reality and also the spiritual reality, and how they clove in one another. But in truth, it's even difficult to explain what the problem is here. That is clear. What is not clear is how is the perception of truth, receiving the truth, what I see in my eyes, how is that related to this quality of reward and punishment?
If we are speaking about spirituality, then you can't attain spirituality if you don't prepare the vessel. And you obtain the vessel through labor. On the one hand. On the other hand, within the labor, you have to take into consideration the above reason too. Another element. Otherwise you will have no connection with the upper force, with the Creator. So it turns out that you have both the labor and faith together. And in our intellect and in our feeling too, they don't connect. They don't connect. But still, we have no choice. We have to exert toward it. And the influence from above, the upper light from above, will organize things for us. Okay, guys, I see we have no choice. We have to simply reread the article. Concerning truth and faith. Two things that contradict one another. Truth is what one feels and sees with his eyes, meaning in his feeling and in his understanding. Because eyes means the mind. And the heart is what feels. So truth is what one feels and sees with his eyes. This discernment is called reward and punishment, meaning that nothing can be gained without labor. It is like a person who sits in his home and does not want to do anything to provide for his sustenance. He says that since the Creator is good and does good and provides for all, He will certainly send me the provision, my provision, will satisfy His needs, while He Himself does not need to do anything, no effort, because everything is in the hands of the Creator anyway. The Creator does everything. Of course, this person will certainly starve to death if he behaves this way. Reason too asserts it. So it appears to the eyes, and this is indeed the truth, that he will die of starvation. We see it in our world. We don't need intellect. But at the same time, one must believe above reason. Above reason. Meaning not what the intellect and his mind and his heart tell him, but above it. That he could obtain all his needs without any exertion and trouble because of private providence. This is really what we want within us. We sit and wait for the Creator to do something. Days go by and years, and we are still waiting. And he says that there is justification for it. Because if we go above reason, meaning that without any intellect or labor, we work. We're just waiting as it is. I'm not changing anything in reality. I lower myself completely to the level of the inanimate, the still, with respect to spirituality. He can still obtain all his needs because of private providence. In other words, the Creator does and will do all the deeds. And one does not help him in anything. Rather, the Creator does everything. And one cannot add or take away. We're not there yet. Meaning we have to believe above reason that without any labor and exertion, we will still come to the solution. Why the Creator placed this obstacle on our way? That we can do nothing and yet believe that we can reach the goal. Have a little more patience. I want you to get into this, to start feeling it a little more internally. Not get an answer, a superficial answer, and settle for it. But get into it and get to know it. Okay? All right. I'm repeating. But at the same time, one must believe above reason, that he could obtain all his needs without any exertion and trouble because of private providence. In other words, the Creator does and will do all the deeds that it's written. And one does not help him in anything. Rather, the Creator does everything, and one cannot add or take away anything, for better or for worse, to influence the Creator's actions. In other words, sit and do nothing better. I'm continuing. Yet, how can these two go hands in hand? How can both exist in reality, since one contradicts the other? One discernment is called what one's mind attains, meaning that without man's help, meaning without preceding labor and exertion, he will attain nothing. This is called truth, since the Creator wanted man to feel this way. This is why this path is called the path of truth, that we have to exert. Even though, on the other hand, it seems to me like I'm sitting and waiting, and in the end I will still get to something. But I don't understand that the Creator will still perform all kinds of exercises and operations on me and will force me to labor, to exert. I'm continuing. Let it not perplex you that if these two ways are in contradiction, yes, they contradict one another, how is it possible that this state will be true? That they will connect. The answer is that truth does not refer to the way or to the state within reason or above reason. Rather, truth refers to the sensation that the Creator wanted him to feel like that way. This is truth. It follows that the matter of truth can be said precisely about the Creator, meaning about the Creator's will, that He wants man to feel and see this way. Meaning we agree with all those things that befall us. And we position ourselves correctly according to what is written, according to what is written for us. And then we begin to change, and accordingly, we gradually come to a state where we do understand and feel, even though neither our mind nor heart are aimed toward it. We still come to a state where we grasp it, we perceive it. Yet, at the same time, one must believe that even though he does not feel and does not see with his mind's eye, that the Creator can help him obtain without any effort on his part. Obtain all the profits that can be gained. It is only with respect to private providence. The reason that one cannot attain the matter of private providence before one attains the matter of reward and punishment, meaning first I have to work with my mind and heart, and I need to do something, and then while exerting, as it's called, this is called exertion, labor, so I come to a state of private providence. Why is it so? Because private providence is an eternal thing, and man's mind... Wait. Where is it? Private providence is eternal, and man's mind is not eternal. Hence, something eternal cannot clothe in something not eternal. This is why we don't feel the spiritual world from this world. Thus, once he has been awarded the reward and punishment, the reward and punishment become a vessel for him, a kli, where private providence can clothe. In other words, only after we perform all kinds of works, we give the labor and everything we can. When we search how we can achieve spirituality, attainment, after a person is rewarded with reward and punishment, when I see that for all those things I have both reward or, God forbid, punishment, then reward and punishment become a kli, a vessel, where private providence can clothe. Private providence. Now we can understand the verse, O Lord, do save, O Lord, do succeed. Save refers to reward and punishment when a person should pray that the Creator will provide him with labor and exertion by which he will have a reward. We're asking for work by which we will have reward. We're not asking for reward without work. This is called, O Lord, do save. At the same time, we should pray for success, which is private providence. Meaning that he will be rewarded with all the spirituality and all the prophets in the world without any labor or exertion. So how can we pray for this and for that, for both? Yes, this is what we have to do. We also see in this, we also see this in corporeal possessions, discerned as separation in places, meaning in two bodies. Whereas in spiritual matters, everything is examined on a single body, but in two times. This is why we see in our world so many differences between people. Some succeed, some do not, some this, some that. All kinds of discernments, distinguishments, because in spirituality they all connect into one vessel and then we have no question. We complement each other. But in corporeality, there are people who feel, who obtain their possession specifically through great exertion, energy, and great wit. And at the same time, we see the opposite, that people who are not so witty, who do not have a lot of energy and do not make great efforts, do succeed and become the greatest property owners in the world. We talked about it. That's clear. The answer is that these corporeal things extend from their upper roots, meaning from reward and punishment, and from private providence, meaning two forms of providence exist on us from above. The only difference is that in spirituality, it appears in one place, in one carrier, in one subject, in one person who incorporates all of us. But one by one, meaning in one person, in two states, meaning two times, in two states. And in corporeality, it is in one time, but in two carriers. Meaning at the same time, but in two different people. This is why there's only one Adam who contains everyone. It's a system. We are all its parts, its pieces. And our whole work is accumulated in it, in that Adam, in that system. Therefore, if we connect and want to complement one another, then we come to that state where all of us become as one in one desire. And there, both private providence and general providence all connect together. And precisely we, by connecting, we assemble together time and place, our exertions, all of them into one. This is why it's clear to us that in our world, we will never come to any complete state, perfect state, beautiful, good, just. As much as we may develop, we will develop, actually because of our development, we will discover how different we are, far, opposite, conflicting and contradicting from each other. Only if we rise above our world, above this egoistic approach, above the egoistic connection, which is how our world is depicted to us, and begin to connect above it, which is called going with faith above reason, then we will connect into one vessel and complement each other, and everything will seem just, and that everything is gaining as much as everyone else. This is called truth and faith when they connect together.
What is the relationship between our labor and the results of our labor?
Al yedei yigiyah,
Through labor, we build a desire. A correct desire for the Creator, whom we need. Because indeed, only He can organize, arrange all the details of our connection to the very last detail. This is really the purpose of our labor, to need, to yearn for the Creator's help, to do the work. In other words, through reward and punishment, we come to the correct form, to above reason. But above reason comes from the Creator. Okay?
Moscow 7.
Yesterday, following your advice, we started to work with this article. We read it in the 10, and we tried to work on it. First, we read it from beginning to end, and then verse by verse. And we have the same questions that surfaced, just like the ones that we're asked in the lesson. First of all, when a friend asks a question, the discussion in the 10, it means that we ourselves try to answer it, and there is a danger here, meaning how should we relate to how the friend is interpreting it? It may be different from how you are explaining it. May we not be confused by it?
We need this confusion, because precisely out of darkness, out of mistakes, we come to states that we cannot resolve. And then in the end, we turn to the Creator. This is why, just as you feel as a result of these articles, as if we understand more, feel more, but are we getting anything in our hands besides having to connect and turn to the Creator? No. We have no result from it. Or we hope that this will be the result. You understand? And this is the truth. That only by understanding together that all of our progress depends on the Creator. After all the exertion, when we come to this necessity, to such raising of man, where on the one hand we have a connection with the degree of bestowal we wanted, on the other hand, we did everything we could in the state of reward and punishment, in the exertion, now we can really cry out, ask, please, Lord, save us. Please, Lord, help us succeed. And those two things, we can connect them in our work, in our group, in the person who does it. Everything connects together. Otherwise, they can't. How can I ask? Oh, Lord, do save. Help me, yes? Make me succeed. How is it possible? Precisely after great exertions and connections as much as we can, we ask for it. So what you went through is very good. I recommend everyone to do it. And if you noticed, I too am not answering you. And you can't really answer a person. There's only one way to give him an answer. Either tell him, go above reason, oh, go according to reward and punishment. But neither is correct. How do the two of them connect? By him trying to connect them together and turning to the Creator. And the Creator is our goal from below, and he is the one who brings us salvation from above. Why is it called salvation? Because he elevates us to such a level where the two things connect together. reward and punishment, and eternal providence, reason and above reason, those two worlds connect. Only through the upper light can we connect the two worlds. They cannot connect. In the mind and in the heart, they do not equalize. They cannot permeate one another. It's like trying to put a ball in a cube. You can't. They are two different things. Only the upper light does it. So, let's continue and...
Thank
you, Rav. I understand that after you said that we actually need the confusions, it's difficult to ask this question, but nevertheless, why, after he was rewarded with reward and punishment, he was awarded reward and punishment, they become a vessel inside of which the singular authority can clothe. That's not clear.
At that time, we have no collision between this world and the spiritual world, because faith and truth connect together through the upper force, from which we get both Malchut and Bina. And in the connection between them, we begin to see the real solution. And you are asking how to see it before we connect in this way. You can't answer it. You can't answer it. This is why the real wisdom of Kabbalah is something that you can't attain. Only those who work and go through all those states, he attains.
Good morning, Raf.
Morning.
According to article that the Creator gives both exertion and success. So it seems that I don't have any independent action. If he is doing everything, what role do I have?
To want the Creator to govern you, to manage you, and want all the corporeal connections, connection with the 10 lessons and dissemination, you put into it. Try. We do it. We do it. You need to add. Try to add. What more? How else can I bring contentment to the Creator? Clearly, if this were in your hands, then you would take all of humanity, connect them all together, and present them to the Creator to bestow upon them His light and correct them and fill them. So this is what you do need to do. Try. This is our work. Latin 4.
Lo shomim.
No sound.
Rav, he sent us the question. I can read it.
Okay, so he sent us the question and we will read it. Fine.
Is it possible to consider our effort as an inseparable part of the Creator's providence, meaning that the Creator does everything and my efforts are just a part of His action?
Of course we are operated by the Creator, but in everything that the Creator does, we have our own participation. Our participation divides into what we feel, attain, can do and what we can't, but we're preparing ourselves for it, which is called above reason. And we need to take those two levels, the relation to the Creator and in a realistic manner, like a child, for example. On the one hand, he knows that his father and mother love him and want to give him everything. On the other hand, he says, no, I want to behave with them according to how much I can be connected to them according to this. I don't want to receive more than I deserve. I want to connect to them with love, even though I don't see this love. With my, because my intellect isn't like the intellect of the mother and father. When a child says, mommy's bad, can mommy be bad? But that's the way it seems to him. So he needs to rise above it and say, mommy is good, I am bad, and attribute this bad to himself. This is what we should be like toward the Creator. Turkey 3.
Do you have a question for Meta? Does reality change every time we rise faith above reason? How should we preserve the common feeling in the time?
Let's put it this way. It's not correct, but just for example, if I have a clear view, opinion of my own, and at the same time I can detect the opinion and view of the group, and if I accept the view and opinion of the group above my own view and opinion, this is called rising to the level of faith above reason. It's not quite spirituality, but it's still a big step toward it. This is real labor.
All the time, the whole of humanity, all human beings, still vegetative, animate, and speaking, all beings are doing the Creator's work. However, we want to do it with awareness, with our understanding. We want to reach a state that we ourselves want to add on to what the Creator does with everyone else. So we want to develop such vessels inside us that our participation in creation will be in awareness, in understanding, in feeling with all our heart and all our brains. That's the difference between us and alien people. Alien meaning alien to this work. That's why we learn how to come close to this state that will be in this whole structure of that the Creator will be those parts that of themselves want to come closer and to integrate with the same thought of creation. That's all. And as much as we can, we want to add others to that. Ultimately, everyone will join either without reason, without knowing about it, or like us, with exertion and the knowledge. PT 6.
What does it mean that we complete each other? What am I lacking, and what do the others complete in me?
The 10, we have to understand that within the 10, within the group, in short, we call it a 10. Within the group, lie all the qualities as they are in the vessel of Adam HaRishon, but it's in a form of compressed.
Yeah, compressed.
Yeah, so it's compressed, so each one includes many. Suppose you have 10 people, each of them is like a billion people outside. So the more we're in the group, the more we want to connect between us, first of all, it's very difficult because each one is like a grapefruit. He has many qualities, corporeal, of people in creation. The more we have corporeal tens, the easier it is for us because we're dividing our work to many such tens. That's, and then the Creator organizes from above to each and every ten its own character, etc. And you'll see in the upcoming time how these things will change and we'll feel how the world is changing and we inside the world are changing and our relation between us and the world and from the world to us, how it's gonna be revealed more and more.
So what's that action of completing each other?
The point of completion between us, we don't really feel this and understand it, but it's when we, according to what Kabbalists say, that we should do. Each one helps his friend. We should feel as one man and one heart. Our desires, it's not that they can connect. No desire can connect to another. But above these desires of ours, we perform a connection. Our thoughts, when we're drawn to one goal, and there, our thoughts will connect because in Him, our heart will rejoice. That's how we try to connect in the group.
Dudi? Thank you, Rob.
Okay. Moscow 3.
Спасибо, Рав. Вы сейчас говорили, что мы не обращаемся к Творцу.
Thank you, Rav. You said that we're not turning to the Creator until we connect in a ten.
Буквально как дети всегда.
So why?
Просить личным образом.
Because we said it like children. We constantly have to ask and also ask individually, not only together. And every little thing, and the main thing is to ask. So why did it change?
We don't change anything. We should be turning to the Creator all the time, but along with that, we don't focus our work only on that, but also on us trying to go above reason. If all we do is ask from the Creator, so that the Creator will organize our provision, our salary, as it's written here, then we're going only according to reward and punishment. But I'm asking everything from the Creator and everything depends on Him. But what depends on me? Where is my work? Only to ask? We're told this is, you have to make an effort here. And the truth is, my effort it also organizes me so I can know what to ask for. So I'm asking for reward and punishment, but what kind of reward am I asking for? So first we have to try to connect between us, then we can ask. And then with this request, what turns out for us is that both truth and faith emerge. It will settle down in us bit by bit. It will. Forgive me for saying, but this is the truth. Out of the upper light, when it works, as much as we're trying and we don't know what to do. But we're trying like little children. So out of our exertion, the sum total of our exertion leads us to the solution. And the solution is not a result of the exertion, but the exertion awakens the Creator, and then the Creator brings the solution.
Good morning, Rav. A question from a friend. What is the main work? Tefillah or going above reason? Or working on our desire?
Our main work is connection, and in the connection, to scrutinize as much as possible what the concept of the Creator means, being the what's common between us. After all these articles, in practice, this is what we need.
That's it.
Let's try, along with it, as much as we understand these articles. But if you take these articles and you perform an action of bringing the friends closer, so in this certain proximity, you'll start understanding the article better. If you don't do this action, you won't perceive the article. That's why we have to do work during the day in perceiving this article. The ordinary logic for a person, but what the wisdom of Kabbalah gives us is to awaken the upper light upon us to the extent that this upper light shines. To that extent, we can start attain things that don't fit in according to our intellect, don't fit in according to our emotion. They're above emotion and intellect. That's called above reason. So we remain with our intellect and our emotion on the one hand. On the other hand, we're building a higher state above our mind and emotion, above our reason. And then we are in the two worlds, according to our mind and emotion in this world, according to the mind and emotion above reason in the upper world. And when we connect the two worlds, by that we correct creation. We raise all our parts in our mind and emotion from the degree of this world to the degree of the spiritual world, from Malchut to Bina. That's what we will do. Next.
Haifa 11. After a person was rewarded with the discernment of reward and punishment, it became a vessel to what private providence can be clothed. What does it mean that reward and punishment became a vessel?
When he receives according to his efforts, he gets more understanding, more providence in that same corporeal degree he's in, and along with that, by his exertion, he awakens the light from above. He doesn't even understand this, but the light shines on him and bit by bit changes his qualities. And within these qualities, he starts feeling bit by bit new discernments, higher.
Give him work and exertion.
Work and exertion we're asking to have in order to succeed by this work and exertion is for us to come closer to the Creator. What does it mean to come closer to the Creator? It's to start feeling in me that I'll start feeling inside me the qualities of the Creator, new qualities. I want to be connected. I want to bestow. And this is in the emotion and in the intellect also, to the extent that I see the world broader, more connected, more dependent, etc. Certainly, when you add knowledge, when you add reason, you add pain. But still, I want to be in it. I want to be there. I want to be Adam. I want to be like the Creator, to understand reality more and more, and to live it. That's why our whole work is as much as we bring ourselves closer to a state where we're all connected. There we will solve all the problems, all questions until the final.
It's written that in spirituality it's revealed in one place, meaning and one after the other, in one person in two states. And in the corporeal, it's at one time, but two topics, meaning in two people. Can you explain or give an example?
What I recommend for you to do is to go into it, to go deep into it, and to understand how wonderful this matter of the shattering of the vessel of Adam HaRishon is. Because specifically thanks to this shattering, we can, in small parts, just like Baal HaSulam gives us the example of passing the king's treasure from one place to another, by that we can do endless work, specifically in a state where there is an end. Specifically when each one does his work, but in the connection between us, we turn this work into integral, to a sum total. And then by that, we are performing an exertion, and in the exertion, we're turning ourselves into a circle, and there's the extreme in the integral. How do you call it?
The constant?
The constant? The C, the plus C. That's what the Creator adds. That's why we say, please, Lord,
save
us, and please, Lord, succeed.
Love.
Well, that's a well-known question. What should we ask for, and what should we do if everything comes from the Creator? But we want to change the Creator's relation to us. Do you hear that? What a severe thing am I saying? Because we're forcing the Creator to relate to us in a more purposeful way. This is the meaning of the verse, "My sons have defeated me." It's not enough that He takes us from one end of reality through all the worlds until the final correction to the other end. But rather, we are forcing Him to do it with each and every step, otherwise He won't do it. That's why here He says, "My sons have defeated me." He performs an action, He stops. We have to ask, to try, do. Can we take a step forward or not? We're crying, we can't. We demand of Him, and then He does it. That's how it is with each and every step. Every step forward of ours is divided into many personal actions, where there is the recognition of the situation and the approach to the situation, to the goal. Come closer to the goal, and how we examine and make mistakes and ask with each and everything until we receive and until we establish the man, right deficiency, in what way to ask, what to ask about exactly. And when we raise that, the Creator will do the work. Still, a step forward is done by the upper light that draws us forward. All that depends on us.
Next. From Moscow 8, why are the texts of the Kabbalists written as if a person have to ask for himself, when it's clear that in Rabash society articles a person has to ask for the others?
That is true. It's a right argument. But In such a personal way, this is how they relate to a person. How can you do it more? To say every time that they have to go into society and along with the society to reach a deficiency, that's man's work. We're on item 86. The title is Explaining the Three Nekudot, the Three Dots, Cholam Shul Khirik.
Well, he is telling us right away that the Nekudot are divided into three discernments. What Nekudot? What are we talking about? The dots. We have to understand that the Hebrew alphabet, it's not that it just developed on its own. We got it from Adam HaRishon, the first Adam, Adam, that lived 6,000 years ago, less 5,800 years ago. And he was the first one in attainment of the Creator. He wrote a few writings and left it for us. And from him, we have that same ABC. That's what's written in the Zohar, and the Kabbalists are writing about it. That's why the Hebrew alphabet that came to us from attaining the upper light, the way it bestows and awakens the will to receive, it comes from the Kabbalists. So, it's written that the letters, the otiyot, are the vessels. Where is that?
Well,
I'll say it. A letter is a vessel. A letter is a vessel. And then, on that vessel, the light bestows from above, called cholam. We write it as the letter Vav and a point, a dot above, or inside, that it states that the light is in the vessel, or below, that the light is below the vessel. That's why we have signs of the light is the point, and this letter, the Vav, is... It symbolizes the vessel. That's why he says in item 86, know that the nekudot, the dots, these, that are above the vessel, the dots are divided into three phases, Rosh Tochsof. These are upper nekudot, above the otiyot, the letters, are incorporated in the name Cholam. This is Cholam. The middle nekudot inside the otiyot included in the name Shuruk or Melafon. Shuruk.
Shurek.
Shuruk.
Da'inu vav ve'bitocha nekuda.
Meaning vav and a dot within it. And the lower nekudot below the letters are incorporated in the name Chirik. This is called Chirik. Chirik. Okay. Questions about that? That's what he writes. He says there's light that is working on the vessel. The work working above the kli is called cholam. The light working inside the kli is called shuk, and the light working below the kli is called chirik.
Ну, а можно вот уточнить? Вот мы вот эти вот три знака.
If I can just be specific here. These signs, these three states, can we feel them?
Of course we will feel it to the extent that we are in resemblance of the upper force. So we feel these lights where they are, either before me, but I have to work with them and restrict them, coupling by striking reflected light. And then as much as this light I can take inward in order to bestow, it's like sitting before the host. I have to calculate in the Rosh, make preparations, and then receive the meal from him and check myself whether I'm taking these meals in order to bestow to him and not for my own pleasure, and it will all be above my ego, and that I'm doing, making this effort towards the Creator. By that I start feeling as much as the pleasures are in me, but the pleasures, except for the food itself, let's say, that it's also something important, but secondary. The main thing is that I feel how I'm connecting to him, how I feel his internality, how I feel that he's filling me with his attitude in according to the way I develop my attitude towards him. That is called adhesion of the created being and the Creator. As we learned from the example of the guest and the host. So, what is cholam when I calculate the lights and tamim I have in my rosh and thought? Then when I decided and started receiving these lights inside the desire, it's as if I take them in through the peh. That's called shuk. And if I can't receive in order to bestow, so the lights supposedly fall below me, and then this state is called chirik. The nekudot relate to all the nekudot around the letters, around the otiyot, and in the otiyot, it's all lights, and the letters are called vessels. So around the vessels, there's all kinds of lights, that they do all kinds of actions with the vessels. And Kabbalists divide them into three groups. Cholam, Shuruk, Chirik. That's it. But there are many nekudot. There's a lot more nekudot from these three types. Okay, so have a good day. Try and repeat the topics we went through, mainly the article. Very important article. I think that we could have added another 1,000 pages to it, to that article that is less of than one page. But what can you do? First of all, let's learn what's written here in the article, and let's try in somewhat to bring this closer to us. Okay? So, good day, with love, be healthy, till tomorrow.